Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, I want to start out this morning by asking you if you've ever been stuck. Because I tell you, I know in my own life I've been stuck before. I've been stuck in the mud. I've been stuck in the snow. I've been stuck in the sand. But sometimes I've also been times in life where I've been stuck emotionally. I've been stuck spiritually. I've been stuck physically. Just a place and a time where I felt like I could not get past the current situation that I was in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, that's good. I want to make sure I was preaching to the right group this morning. Well, this morning I want to share with you a story from the book of John, chapter 5, about a man that was stuck. And this man had been in this situation for an extended period of time. And for whatever reason, he couldn't seem to get past his current situation. He had came to a place where he had really just given up. He had only seen one way out of his situation, and so he was stuck. But then Jesus showed up on the scene. Amen. Jesus showed up and spoke directly to his situation, and it changed his life. Turn with me to John chapter 5, if you will. We'll be going through verses 1 through 9 this morning. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read you this story. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there's in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up." And I believe he said it like that. There's an exclamation point. "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. In this story, it's really clear that this guy had been sitting there for 38 years. That's what it said. Now, this isn't a figurative term. It is a specific term. He had been there for 38 years. Now, what's interesting about this pool, this Bethesda, is that up until about the 19th century, a lot of biblical scholars thought that John had made up this place because they couldn't find it. Well, in the 19th century, they actually found this place through archaeological evidence. They dug, they found it. So you can go there today. You can go to this place and say, this was the place this story happens. Why do I tell you this? Because this is a real story. This isn't an allegory. This isn't something that somebody made up. This is a true, specific story. And so Jesus rolls up on this guy who'd been there for 38 years. And this pool was a place where people would gather. And for whatever reason, they believed and saw that when the water was stirred, and when you say stirred, it's like a ripple, right? Whenever the water was stirred, whoever made their way down there first got the blessing for the day. They got the healing. And so this guy had been sitting there for 38 years. And for whatever reason, whenever this water was stirred, he couldn't get down to the water. Now, in this story, you'll also notice the man is sitting by the water, sitting by the pool, looking for his healing, looking for his blessing, and Jesus comes up and gives him a healing and doesn't use the pool. The place where the man was sitting, the place where he expected to get his blessing, was not what Jesus used to heal him. So what does this verse mean? Sometimes you wait a really long time for God to show up. I mean, this guy was sitting here for 38 years waiting. Now, I don't know about you, but like 38 years to me seems like a pretty good length of time. I am only 37 years old, so I don't know what it's like to be 38, because that's way older. But 37, like I can identify with 37 in my life. I've done a lot in my 37 years, right? I completed school and in college, and I was in the military. I had a wife and kids and church and jobs and bought stuff and sold stuff and vacations. Like I sat down and I thought, man, I've lived a pretty full life at 37. Bless God, if the Lord tarries a little bit longer, I have a little bit more fun. But I thought about this guy and I thought, man, for the span of the life that I've lived, he sat in the exact same spot, waiting for Jesus to do something, or waiting for God to do something in his life. Jesus hadn't shown up yet. But he waited there that whole entire time in his life, waiting for something to happen. How many of you can identify with waiting this morning? How many of you can identify with asking God for a blessing, or waiting for God to move something in your life, and for some reason it seems like it's been a real long time? This guy had to wait for 38 years. You know, part of the problem that we have in America is we live in this microwave, super fast, drive-through, make it happen right now kind of mentality. Some of you see, I only got that from a couple of my impatient brothers. Amen? See, the thing is like, you guys don't understand, I'm an impatient man. Well, I should rephrase that. I'm not impatient. I just want things done now. Right? I mean, if I go to Starbucks, I don't know why it should take longer than 2 minutes to make this foo-foo drink that has 15 ingredients. Why should it take that long? When I go to a restaurant, I order the food, I look at my watch, and I wonder, how long is it going to take them to bring me back my piping hot food? For some reason, I just like things to get done fast. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, here's the hardest part about that, is us with our American super-fast microwave instant mentality, we put that on God. And we say, well, God, it seems to me like McDonald's can magically make a Big Mac in 60 seconds. You're the God of the universe and you can't answer this prayer that fast? Come on, you know you done said it to him. I know I have. I know I've asked God. I said, you know, God, if you're the God of the universe, there's no reason why you can't do this. But for whatever reason, God doesn't move as quick as we want him to sometimes. Sometimes God takes his sweet time, doesn't he? Maybe you guys don't pray enough for stuff. In my life, God takes as long as he feels necessary. We expect him to show up when we say to do what we tell him, to do it the way we want him to do it. God, you can answer my prayer, but I want you to answer it this way, right now. Okay. In Isaiah 58:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Folks, I've said this to you before, but I'll say it to you again. We may be in a certain situation for an extended period of time. And some people ask, they say, "Pastor, how come I'm in this situation for this long?" And you know what I always say? I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that God knows. I know that God knows exactly where you're at in your situation. I know that he hasn't forgotten about you. I understand that for whatever reason, God seems to do things on his timeline and not on our timeline. This poor guy was sitting there for 38 years. Sometimes God asks us to wait. Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait for a kid, right? They had to wait 13 years for Isaac. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had to wait for John the Baptist. Joseph, this guy in the Old Testament, he got sent to prison for 3 years. And then he came out and he was the governor of Egypt. He had to wait. He had to wait to get to his blessing. A lot of times in our own lives, we have to wait too. The nation of Israel, which is what this whole story is about, the nation of Israel was waiting for Messiah, and they had to wait hundreds and hundreds of years for Messiah to show up. I mean, there was literally millions of people that died that passed the torch to the next generation and said, "Messiah has not yet come. Take the torch and continue to wait, because we know he's going to come. We know he's going to come." For whatever reason, God doesn't seem to have a problem with us waiting. He's fine with it. He's not wringing his hands up in the heavens going, "Man, I don't know how long this is going to last." Like, he's totally fine with it. But he's got a great sense of humor. Here's something that I've found in my own life, though. Is in my own life, I've found that oftentimes I'm going through something in the thick of it, and I'm always saying, "When, God, when? Why, God, why? God, why won't you change this? Why won't you fix this? Why won't you see me through this? Why do you keep me in this situation?" And then a time passes, and I look back on the road, and I say, "Man, God was in that. He knew what he, I didn't know what I was doing, but bless God, he knew what he was doing. He was directing my steps. He was keeping me from something I thought I wanted or I thought I needed. I thought I was supposed to get. And he was like, shh, get back on the line, son.
Amen.
He always knows what he's doing. In this relationship, there is someone that always knows what they're doing, and it's not me.
Amen.
God always knows. Where's that verse about women keeping silent in church? Where is that? I know it's in here somewhere. I think it's in Corinthians. Jeez. She knows where it is. What was I saying? And it was my son's turn first service talking about amen. Put my family in the back row. What am I talking about? You sit there and waiting on God, right? Saying, God, I'm where you wanted me to be, but he's not moving, right? I'm by the pool. You said, I figured out there's going to be a blessing by the pool. I'm sitting by the pool, but you're not acting. Nothing's happening. And we sit there and we try to understand, why is God not moving? You know what it says in Isaiah 40:31? It says, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, here's what's interesting about this guy, is that, and I've done it, I put down this guy. Because, come on, let's be honest here. What kind of sap waits 38 years? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the guy rolled half of his body each year, that would be like 76 rolls. And at that, if he just took a whole year to roll half, he would get to, you'd think, right? He could have got to the water in 76 rolls over 38 years. Or at least something would have happened. But here's the thing about this guy that most people don't talk about. Do you know what I love about this guy for 38 years? Man, he was committed. He was not going to give up. For whatever reason, he believed that he was going to get his healing in this pool, and by hook or by crook, he was not going to leave. And I guarantee you, it doesn't say it, but I'm sure that there was people that came along and was like, brother, come on, man. Let's go somewhere else, some other pool. Let's go somewhere else, because it certainly ain't happened at this pool. You've been here for 20 years. At 20 years, someone had to, at 25 years, at 30 years, someone had to say it. But no, this guy was committed. He said, you know what? God did not tell me to leave this place. I'm going to get a blessing from this place, and I'm going to stay. In a lot of ways, he had faith. Sure, it was might be misdirected. I mean, he had his faith in this pool instead of having faith in God. But bless God, it was still faith. Amen? He still had belief. I like this guy. He's committed. He's got faith. And there's a part of me that I think, and it's not here, this is Matt theology, Mattology, if you will. You can take it or leave it, but this is what I think. Because I always read the Bible and I always think, what's not in there? You know what I mean? And so I was thinking about this guy and I thought, you know, people, they don't change much. Thousands of years ago, we're still the same. What I'm thinking about this guy is he probably had such a low view of himself that he probably let a lot more people go before him. At some point after a few years of not being able to get in the water, he was probably like, you know what? Just go. The water's stirring. It's your turn. Go ahead. I'll get it next time. I'm not worried about me anymore. Just go ahead. He had forgot the reason why he was there. The reason for it was him to get his blessing. I'm guessing he probably let a few people go ahead of him. Because here's the thing, folks. We're looking at this story. God answers prayers in ways that you don't expect. God does not answer prayers in the way that you would expect him to. See, part of this guy is that he wanted to get healed his way. God, I'm going to get healed by this pool here. So I'm going to set up camp by this pool. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to wait for the ripple. I'm going to go in, and then I'm going to get healed. In his mind, he had figured out and said, the only way that I'm going to get healed is in this pool. But if you read the story, you'll see that Jesus didn't use the pool. The way in which this man thought, he said, you know, God, I only think that you can work through the pool. And people see it this way. You know, God, I've been praying about this and I want you to do this way. And I know it's going to be you, but only if you do it this way, because this is the plan I have. This is the plan I've been thinking. This is what I came up with. This is what I'm going to do. And God, I know that you can bless what I have told. You see where we're going with this? I. This guy thought the only way to get healed was in this pool. Man, you know, I'm pretty sarcastic. It's one of my spiritual gifts. Amen. I heard some pastor, I was at some meeting, and some pastor were talking about how sarcasm isn't of God. And I was like, man, you don't read your Bible. Because, you know, in this thing, Jesus says to him, he goes, do you want to get well? It's so sarcastic. The guy's been sitting there for 38 years. And Jesus asked this question like, hey, man, you want to get well? Of course he wants to get well for 38 years. Is he going to be like, I'm good. I'm good, Jesus. I'm not really 38, I'm good. I don't really need this. The guy doesn't even say yes. Jesus says, you want to get well? And he goes, sir, the water, when it stirs, I'm not able to get myself in there, which is why I'm not able to get in there. And Jesus says to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. No water, no pool. See, what some people think about Jesus, and they say, well, couldn't Jesus have just picked him up and tossed him in the pool? Well, sure, of course he could have. Right? He could have done anything. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to teach a lifelong lesson for you and everybody else, is that you're going to think your blessing's going to come a certain way, but I'm not going to answer it in your way. I'm going to answer it in my way. Amen. And I'm going to show myself faithful. So he says to this guy, get up and walk. Get up. Pick up your mat. You don't need no pool. You don't need that water. You've been sitting at the wrong pool for 38 years. I'm the fountain of life. Stand up and walk. Wait a minute, dear Jesus. I've been sitting here for 38 years staring at this pool. And that's, I was waiting for my day in glory. I was going to be the one. I was going to get in the pool and everybody's going to be like, yay, the guy for 38 years. He finally got it. You took my moment away from me, Jesus. This is my moment and you took it. Well, what was his thing? Did he want the deal or did he want to get healed? Because if you want to get healed, God's going to answer it in the way that He wants to answer it. And sometimes you don't get no show. You don't get no get to go down in the water and dance. You just pick up your mat and go, man. Just be done with it and go. How many times have we done this? Some sort of life circumstance and you're looking for a blessing from God, but you want Him to answer it this way. This way, Jesus. See, I believe what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we have asked of Him. What does that mean? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. You know what? I believe that God answers 100% of my prayers. Now, He doesn't always answer them the way that I want Him to answer. But He does answer. 100% of the time, He answers prayers. And I have complete confidence in that. See, what's interesting is that in my life, I'm not easily swayed with things once I believe that I have a plan. I grew up watching the A-Team. All the 30-year-olds are like, amen. All the 20-year-olds are like, what? You know, when we started, I love it when a plan comes together. All right, so couldn't help myself. So like the church started almost 10 years ago, and we were meeting in a school in Kent. And when we were there, this wonderful man, whose name is James O'Neill, who works for this great company, said, hey, there's this meeting space down at the end of this warehouse that my business isn't using. We should go meet down there instead of this school. And I was like, no. And he said, why not? I said, because God said Kent. He didn't say Auburn, and we're not going down there. And so then he ended up telling other people. And then everybody was like, let's go down there. And I was like, no, it's a bad idea. And I said, we're never going to go there because God can't grow a church in a warehouse. And then I said, school and Kent, and that's where we're going. And so anyway, God kind of just runs the show, you know. He just because I didn't fit into my plan and what I thought God was going to do. We can't tell God how we want Him to accomplish our prayers. He does it the way He wants to do it. If you go to God and you say, God, I want to do this. I want to be a part of this. God, I want you to move in this. And God says, great, here you go. This is how you're going to do it. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't want to do it that way. I want to do it that way. It's like your kids, right? Your kids say, I'm hungry. Okay, here's your dinner. I don't want that. Well, you said you were hungry. Here is some food. Shall you eat it?
I guess I wasn't that hungry.
Yeah. I'm bored. Oh, there's some chores for you to do. Shoom! They're gone. Never to be seen or heard from again. God answers prayers in ways you don't expect. You know, it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. See, here's part of it too, folks, is that you have to allow God to speak to your situation. Amen. You have to allow it. Hear me on this, church, okay? God has not forgot about you. The creator of the universe knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows every last intricacy about your life. One of the biggest lies from the pit of hell is that Satan will lead you to believe that God has forgot about your current situation. See, this guy at the pool, he'd been there for 38 years. And do you think that God was up in heaven and just kind of lost track? And he was like, oh, Jesus, so yeah, you're going to be down there. There's this guy I forgot about. He's sitting by this pool. When you can get around to it, if you could get to him, it would really help me out. No way. God knew exactly the guy was sitting there. And somebody say, well, why would he let him suffer for 38 years? Because he's God, man. He can do whatever he wants. And you say, well, that's not very fair. I couldn't find the word fair in the Bible. I've looked. I can't find it. What I do find is words like sovereign, which means God's in control. What I know is, for whatever reason, if only for today, that you know the people that are at Faith and Victory can have their lives changed by this one man sitting by a pool by 38 years, then God accomplished his will in that man's life. How many lives have been changed throughout the ages because of this story about this man? This guy had a reasonable act of service, suffering for 38 years to change the lives of millions of people that follow Jesus. Don't think that God has forgot about you. When God did show up, when Jesus showed up, he didn't mince words. He spoke directly to the guy's situation. I love Jesus, man. He's a straight shooter. He's not like, hey, so how things been, man? How you doing? Directly to his situation. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? See, what happens in our own situations is that oftentimes we want to hear from God. We want to have him speak to our situations. But what he speaks into your situation sometimes might surprise you. I want to hear from God, but can't he just tell me what I want to hear? It doesn't work that way. If you want to hear from God, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God will speak to your situation. Specifically and directly to your situation. And I know some of you naysayers, you're already saying it, man, God never spoke to me. Well, here we go. I'm fixing to fix you. People say this to me, Pastor, how do I hear from God? How do I hear God's voice? And I talk, you know, I talk about the fact that I hear from God all the time because I do. But I'll tell you, I don't hear an audible voice. I don't hear a booming voice from heaven where he's like, Matt, I choose you to build a boat. You know, I mean, it's like, that's not how it, that's from Noah. And I, preachers have very small amount of jokes. When God speaks to you, it's rarely through a booming audible voice. Now, I've heard people that have heard the audible voice of God before. And from what I hear, it's usually not in a good situation when you hear the audible voice of God. It's kind of scary, but I know that he can do it. In my life, I don't think that he's given me his audible voice yet. I'm waiting for it. But this is how he will speak to us, and how he speaks to me, is that he speaks to us through his word. What do I mean by that? Through this Bible right here. This Bible right here, all 66 books, is the greatest thing that you have to be able to hear from God. And people say, well, I want to hear what God has to say to my situation. Friend, I promise you, if you will spend your time scouring these scriptures, God will speak directly to your situation. Supernaturally, whatever your circumstance is, through the pages of this Bible, God will speak exactly what you need to hear. And if you don't believe me, try. Because when you spend time in this thing, God, these pages come alive, and it's like God Himself is sitting right next to you, speaking directly to your situation. And when that happens, you feel like God talked to you, because He did. That's what He wanted to do. You know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. This Bible is the Word of God. This is what God has given us for us to be able to hear Him. Now, I also believe in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And some would say, well, how is it alive and active? I'll tell you why. What that scripture said to me when I was 16 is not the same scripture it says to me when I'm 37. I'm a different man. I'm a different person than I was 20 years ago. I'm a father. I'm a man. I'm a leader. I'm a pastor. I wasn't any of those things when I was 16. When I was 16, I had a lot of 16-year-old problems. But that's the beautiful thing about this word, is that you don't read it once and say, yeah, I read it. It was pretty good. You read it continually, because as your life progresses and you go through things, God uses the word to speak directly to your situation and what you are going through. Believe me. Take the time to read this thing. You know, someone said once, God said everything He wanted to say, and He wrote it down. Yeah. He said everything He wanted to say, and He wrote it down. Spend some time reading this word, and it will help you to understand what you should or should not be doing. That's why a lot of times I don't sit up here and rattle off sins you shouldn't be doing, because you know good and well what you shouldn't be doing. You don't need me to tell you. But I tell you, it helps when you read this Bible and you find something like, wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't even realize I was envious until I'd been serving God for about 15 years. I had a dirty, envious spirit. Bless God, He's worked on that with me and it's gone. But I didn't. I was reading the Word because I had other things I needed to worry about when I was in my teens and 20s. But then God was like, you dirty envier. Boom. I was like, ow, that hurts. It will help you to live a righteous life. People say, well, then how should we live? Well, read your word and it'll help you. It'll challenge you in the way you think and the way that you act. A lot of people just think the wrong way. Why? Because you don't believe what God says about you. You believe what the world says about you instead of what God says about you. The other way that God will speak to you is by His Spirit. If you would receive the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, let me explain this, because sometimes you start talking about the Holy Spirit and people get all weird because it's kind of, you know what I mean? A little loosey-goosey with the Holy Spirit. And the Pentecostal types are real good at this, right? Because they love to play the Holy Spirit card. They'd be doing nonsense, utter and complete craziness. And they're like, the Spirit told me. And so you're like, man, I don't want to get between this person and the Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and some people say that all the time. Say, man, the Holy Spirit told me. And they're doing something that's utterly and complete nonsense. It's craziness. Because here's the deal, okay? I'll get back to that in a second. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26, He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And it won't necessarily be with words. The Holy Spirit works, as the Bible says, sometimes with groans that words cannot express. It's almost like your gut, but it's more than that. Because, you know, even people that don't know God will say, oh, my gut, you know, it doesn't feel right. Folks, you can't trust your gut. Your gut will fail you, okay? Because I tell you, there's been times where I felt stuff in my gut that I was like, oh, I was wrong, I did this, whatever, and it was all over a bunch of nonsense. It was just because I feel stuff in my stomach, okay? So don't think the Holy Spirit is, oh, my gut told me it's the Holy Spirit. It's not that at all. Okay? It's a spiritual thing. And I'm trying to explain it, but it's hard, because the truth is it can't really be taught. This thing has to be caught. Right? For those of you that have the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Only two people, my wife and Jan. That's great. So I need to pray for you guys to receive the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you directly about your situation. But here's the thing, and this is important, folks. Don't check it. No, that's not what I was going to say. It's not about you have to listen. What you have to do is you have to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. This is the most important part of listening to the Holy Spirit, and where a lot of people miss it, is because people get in this mindset and they say, well, the Spirit told me to do this, or I had this feeling that I should have done this. God will never ask you to do something that doesn't line up with His Word. But sometimes people will get so hyper-spiritual about stuff and be pulled in another direction, and what they're doing has no grounding in the Word of God at all. They'll be doing things that are completely nonsense, not scriptural, not biblical, and honestly just kind of altogether wrong, and pass it off as what God told them to do, and then put up this barrier to do it. It's like, oh, God told me to do this. And you're like, the Bible says, you know, Crystal and I heard a story about this lady who came up to this pastor and told the pastor, said, Pastor, God told me you're supposed to be my husband. Well, the problem was he was married. And so she told the pastor, I'm praying for your wife to die so that your wife would die and I could be your wife. You want to talk about something totally and completely unscriptural? But I mean, that's the kind of stuff where people say, oh, well, God told me. God is not going to tell you to pray for somebody's wife to die so you can have their spouse. If you're doing that, stop. Amen? The other way that God will speak to you is through other people and other Christians. Okay? Understand this, church. Do you realize in the Old Testament, God used a donkey to speak to somebody? So if God used a donkey, He can use you. Amen? But sometimes we look for God to speak to us, and He'll try to speak to us by His Word, and we won't read it, and then we won't listen. He'll try and by His Spirit, and then we won't listen, we won't do it. So God says, well, I'm going to use a person to speak to you. And it could be a Christian. God could even use somebody who's not a Christian to speak directly to your situation. God will use whatever He needs to get you where you need to be. And He will even use a person to do that. And you've got to get this thing out of your mind to think, oh, well, they don't look like me. They don't sound like me. They don't, you know, they're disheveled, or, you know, I've seen how they live their lives. And they don't even have their lives together. What right do they have to speak into my life? You look hard enough in anybody's life, man, you go and find some dirt. And you just use it as an excuse to say, well, I don't have to listen to what they have to say because, you know, I found something bad with their life. And if there's something bad with their life, then I can discount anything that they have to say. And that's wrong. It's totally and completely wrong. God will use people all the time to speak to your situation. Sometimes it's just from another believer quoting a scripture at you. People get so upset. How dare he quote the Bible at me? That's exactly what you need. You need someone to speak the word over you. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Like it's happening right now, as I'm standing here before you, speaking this word, I hope that it's challenging you, that it's changing you, that it's encouraging you, all those things that it's supposed to do. But I'm just a man. I'm just a man that God and the Holy Spirit are using right now to speak directly to your situation. And you can either take it or you can leave it. But I believe that preaching is the Word of God. Amen? But what I speak to you must line up with the Word of God. If what I speak to you does not line up with the Word of God, take me out back and stone me. Not today. Make an appointment. But seriously, like even a person that is not saved can speak things into your life that are of God. And I tell you, there's times when I was not living the way I should have been living, hanging around with people that didn't even believe in God, and I was doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing, and they'd say to me, aren't you a Christian?
Man, shut up. You ain't one. You can't say that to me.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God will use whatever He needs to use to get you to where you need to be. Amen? Here's also what you should do. Okay? You got to allow God to get you out of your comfort zone. Because that's part of this story too with this guy. Is this guy had he really kind of got kind of comfortable. You know? I mean, 38 years, let's be honest. I can get comfortable in about 5 minutes. Like, I ain't going nowhere. This chair, this is me. This is where I'm going. This guy was comfortable in his pain. He was comfortable in his misery. You would think that at some point he would have figured out how to get in the water. I'm thinking comfort hit at probably about 5 years. That's just my guess. It's fine. He's been chilling for 33 years. It's really no different than us, isn't it? I live in this place. This is where I live. This is what I drive. This is where I work. This is how I drive to the place that I work, the exact same way every single day. I park in this spot. Somebody else park in my spot, we can have words. I put my stuff in the refrigerator at work at this place. Nobody better touch my stuff. I take my break at this time. Boss comes up, hey, you can't take your break at this time. What? I take my break at this time every day. What can you do for five? I can't do 5 more minutes. I want my union rep. We just get locked into this place where we just love the routine and love the place. There's just this nice little comfort. It might be the wrong place.
Yeah, come on.
You might be in the wrong place and you got comfortable there and God comes knocking like, hello, got something else for you. I want to get you outside of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to change little things to prepare for big things. If you can't even drive somewhere a different way than you usually drive it, what's going to happen when God asks you to do something big? Because at any given moment, He could ask you to do something that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Not in the way that you thought it was going to happen. Wait a minute, Jesus. I've been hanging out by this pool. I'm comfortable. I want to get healed in the pool. Don't want to pick up my mat. I want to do it my way. And God's like, pick up your mat. I've got another plan. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of that place where you're comfortable, that routine that you've gotten to love. No matter how good or bad, we get into routines. You guys aren't routine people? Dude, get up at the same time, you know, get dressed in the same way. I always put on my pants before my socks. I just have to, for whatever reason. When it doesn't happen that way, it just throws me off. Just like the routine, just like things a certain way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. If you have stood before God and gave your life to Jesus Christ and you said, you know what, God, I love you, have your way in my life, He wants to have His way in your life. And that means that sometimes you're going to have to go through things that you don't like. That means you're going to have to change things about your life that you like. It means you're going to have to completely realign everything that you thought to be true just because God spoke to your situation. He said, you know what? I want to refine your character. I'm not concerned with your comfort.
Amen.
And if you haven't had that happen before, get ready. God's fixing to turn your world upside down. Don't get comfortable with where you're at, because the truth is, eventually, Jesus is going to go and show up and ask you to get outside of your comfort zone. As soon as you like things, He's going to change things. That's just how God works. It's kind of a funny joke sometimes, you know what I mean? As soon as you start to like something, He wants to change stuff up. Because here's the other part of it, okay? You have to do the thing that God asks of you, no matter how crazy it may seem on paper. Now listen, okay? Hear me, church. I'm not asking you to throw care to the wind this morning, amen? Okay? Don't go doing no craziness and say, well, I heard this great sermon and I just went and did this crazy thing. Don't do that. You have to make sure it's from God, okay? Lines up with His Word. Bring it before a few other believers and be like, I heard this. I thought maybe this was God. Can you help me out? Okay? But even after that's happened, if you know it's of God, And God tells you to do it, and you put up, you know, the list, right, the Einstein list with the pros and the cons, and you weigh them, you're like, oh, there's more pros than cons, we should do it, or there's more cons than pros, we shouldn't do it. None of that matters when it comes to things of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Like you should be prudent. There's nothing wrong with prudence, but sometimes prudence doesn't even pay the bills. Like God will say, do this, and you have to do it.
Yes.
You just do it. And people will look at you like you're crazy, and you're like, no, it's crazy, man. I shouldn't have, you know, quit that six-figure job to go become a pastor, but somehow God told me to do it. I don't know. I guess that's just the stuff that I've seen in my own life.
God, how am I not going to live with that much? Well, I'll teach you how to live on less. You're going to be happier than you ever were. What? What? No, they're here. Pool, pool.
You know what? I guarantee you, man. And don't worry, we're around the corner here, okay? I guarantee you that there was someone sitting next to him, and it ain't in the Bible, but you know I always like to add stuff in. I guarantee you there was some guy that was like, hey, man, don't pick up your mat, man. Pool. I guarantee you. It's human nature. We do it to people all the time. Somebody's like, hey, man, this guy said pick up the mat. No. Don't pick up your mat. Pool. That's the sure thing. Stay with the pool. That's where you want to stay. Don't listen to this guy. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. What is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. I'm sure that all those pool sitters were astounded that this guy had been sitting on this mat for all these years and with no use of the pool, got up and started walking.
Yeah. Hey, wait, how did he get up? He didn't even use the pool.
That's how people are.
Yeah. Come on.
People get this mindset and they think there's only one way to do things.
Yeah.
Only the pool. Been doing it for a lot of years. That's how we're going to use it in the pool. I went to the seminar one time. And at the seminar, and there was a few hundred people, and it was down at the Hilton down in downtown Seattle. And so we're in the ballroom. There's hundreds of people, and this guy that was leading the thing, and he stood up, and he says, all right, I want everybody to stand up. And you're like, you know, a bunch of people you don't know, just like in church, we make you hold hands. And so so everybody stands up, and he goes, I want everybody to line up in the ballroom. So he had us all line up in this huge ballroom all on the wall. And so he stood on the side, and he took the first guy, and he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, will you walk across the stage for me? The guy's like, yeah, sure. So he walks across the stage. He walks across. And then the second guy said to the guy, he goes, now listen, I want you to walk across the stage, but you cannot walk across the stage the way that that guy walked across the stage. The guy's like, all right. And then the third guy, he says, all right, I want you to walk across the stage, but you can't walk across the stage the way the first guy and the second guy did. Somebody's going to get this, and I'm going to stop doing this eventually. There was like 500 people in the room, all right? We want to get out of here at some point to watch the Seahawks game, right? The point is this, is that there was hundreds of people in that room, and do you know that all of us walked across the stage totally completely different? And then he made us do it again. And out of those hundreds of people that were in that room, nobody walked across the stage the same way. Hundreds of people walked across. I mean, people were doing this and doing this and doing this. I mean, people doing flips, and people were snapping and clapping and singing and doing just crazy nonsense stuff. But the point is, and the point I want to share with you, is that there's more than one way to do something.
Yeah.
We get caught up in this mindset with God of like, God, you can only do it one way. And God says, I'm speaking to your situation. I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. I done told you what to do, and you still won't do it just because it's not the way that you thought it was supposed to happen. It's like this selfish pride with us where we say, you know what, God, if you can't do it the way that I thought it was going to be, it's not of you. It's God, because I want the glory, because I had the idea first. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Amen? Amen. Would you do this? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads this morning? I always give you a little time for a response. And you guys say, man, why do we do this every week? Because I want this to stick, man. I don't want you to come down here and just have a good time. I want your life changed. If your life ain't changing, this ain't worth my time. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Okay, first off, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't even know Jesus, and you say, do you know what, Pastor? I need to know Jesus. And I don't even know what that means, but I know that my life is going in the completely wrong direction. And if this Jesus can help me, I want his help. I need him. And if you've never given your life to Jesus before, You've never asked him to come into your life. You've never made a decision to follow him. And you want to do that this morning? I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. I just want to give you an opportunity to make that decision. I just want to pray for you. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Is there anybody in here? Praise God. All right, maybe you're here this morning and you say, do you know what, Pastor? Man, there was so much in there and there was a lot of it for me. Maybe you're in the group that you've been asking for a prayer and you've been sitting by the pool for 38 years, but you've just lost heart. And you just need a word from God. You need Him to speak directly to your situation. If that's you this morning, you say, man, I need God to speak to me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Now for another group of people, God already done told you something. He already spoke to your situation. You're being disobedient and you're not doing it. I pray today by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would have the courage to pick up your mat and walk. God told you to it. He spoke to you. He said, son, daughter, I'm asking you, pick up your mat and walk. If you need to do that today, would you just raise your hand to Him and say, do you know what, God, I'm going to pick up my mat and walk. I'm done. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm not going to fight you anymore. Father God, we love you this morning. We glorify you this morning in the powerful name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that you're a God that hears our prayers. And God, I don't understand why sometimes you wait so long. And maybe it's just because you need to refine our character, God. But God, I pray that we would be a people, that we would be a church, that when you speak, God, we move. When you come into our lives and you tell us to pick up our mat and walk, God, we don't ask any questions. We just pick up our mat and walk. And so, God, I pray for those people that are here this morning, myself included, God. If you've spoken something to us and we're not doing it, God, would you just give us the strength to do it, to just pick up our mat and walk? God, for those people that are still waiting for that word, God, I just pray for comfort over them. I pray for peace over them, that they would be able to endure their time of waiting by your pool. And God, I know that you're going to answer that prayer at your point, in your time. And God, we believe in your providence. We believe in your sovereignty, God. We believe that you know what you're doing. God, we praise you. We glorify you. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.